Let's get to Mike right now. Michael, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, gang.
What's up, Mike?
Nothing. So real quick, I want to say something about Dolphin, but before that, the preseason, I think personally they got to scrap the preseason the way it's currently constructed. I mean, it's also like robbery to have season ticket holders pay money for these games that aren't even games. It's like they could do something else. Like there's definitely, we're all definitely interested in how the team is developing in the preseason. Like they're probably going to get more, you know, interest from fans if they're just showing more of like an open practice.
Look, Mike, like, they reduced the cost of the preseason tickets a couple years ago. So that was a step in the right direction. But I think based on the product the other day, it is at the point where they probably should just be free tickets. And I don't say that casually because I'm a capitalist. Like, I get it. Free market economy, I get it. But, I mean, I think, in the big picture, the Eagles have a great organization, do a lot right. But I think it's pretty bad to stick fans with any cost with what we saw Saturday from 1 to 4. That's how dreadful I thought the product was.
I agree. I mean, I think the only thing you could do, I mean, even if it's like $10, it's $15 too much. Like, at the very least, announce, and again, I'm not holding Jeffrey to a higher standard here, but announce that every single dollar from preseason ticket sales and concessions is going to charity. Do something where
I don't think they could do that with the collective, like the whole way that's set up. I don't know if they're allowed to.
They might not be allowed to.
Yeah. All right. Well,
what about flag football? I mean, why don't you go to flag football?
I mean, that'd be entertaining at least.
Honestly, God, it's become more and more popular.
How about they just open the link and say we're going to put Super Bowl 52 in the Jumbotron?
I would be there in a second.
Like, really? Do skills competition, something. Just change it.
You know,
That's
a good point. Like, why not just away games, if the stadium's not being used, like open it up and whoever wants to go watch the game.
Well, they're
from
doing
the stadium,
that for the Brazil game.
Just like they're doing with Brazil. It seems like you could replicate that rather easily.
Yeah, but how many people are going to go? You can just pop it on your TV.
Probably tens of thousands, like because they want to make it tailgating. Like, let's go out and have a party while we watch it. I think it'd be fun.
I was sort of half joking about the flag football. I'm serious. I mean, at least you see the athletes go run around and do something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Like the starters.
Mike, did you get anything out of that game?
I got 3 hours of peace by not watching it.
Yeah. All right, Mike, give me a big-time answer. What appeals to kids and adults?
We'll do, but really quick, Dotson. I think Dotson is an incredible pickup, and I think we're maybe putting a little bit too much stock in what B. Mitch said, and like, you know, let's not get a little too anxious and nervous about his time in Washington. Like, let's remember he was in Washington, and it almost for me reminds me of remember when Randy Moss was a Raider.
Oh, and Mike. Over? Yeah, I do, but I. Mike, Randy Moss was bored in Oakland or L.A., wherever that was. He was bored.
Oakland.
He was bored. So obviously his performance wasn't as good, and Belichick knew that and pounced on it. I mean, this Dotson guy, man, was a rookie and a second-year dude. I mean, you can't be bored to start your career. I mean, he's got millions of dollars at stake, and the bottom line is the start of his career was underwhelming. Now, it doesn't mean he might not help the Eagles, but let's not act like the Eagles got some terrific wide receiver here. He's done very little in his career so far.
Let's hope he was humbled by his experience.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's hope it's like Nelson Agholor, who did nothing in his first 2 years and then became a really, pretty solid player.
Well, and this guy did more than Agholor did in his first two years.
He did do more.
Yeah,
he did.
He had like 108 receiving yards against the Eagles. I know their defense.
But he had like 500 for the year.
Yeah, but he still did more than Nelson Agholor. I don't think it's fair to compare him to Nelly.
I will agree he was better in the first 2 years than Agholor. Mike, give me an answer here. What appeals to kids and adults?
So one of my favorite foods, chicken tenders.
Chicken tenders.
Great answer.
That might be a winner.
That might be the chicken.
Sometimes
huge.
You just got to go with the kids menu.
Joe DeCameron knows
what I'm talking about.
I do that.
He gets them. He gets the tenders.
That boy got it sometimes.
Yeah.
My kids are all over the
for
tenders.
For breakfast.
Yeah. And they're 25 now.
But he's 45.
And you know what you got to do?
46. And
double dip. Not at the same time, but you got your barbecue and you got your honey mustard.
And your honey mustard.
And you kind of go back and forth per bite.
Right.
And that's for breakfast.
I get sometimes. It. All right, John, we were just talking about Dotson. He was a disappointment in Washington.
Yeah.
The Nolan Smith thing. I think there was only two players that played the other day that it was really notable that they played or how they played. One, obviously, Cooper DeJean, our first chance to see him. The other, Nolan Smith, playing as much as he did. First-round pick from last year. How big of a problem do you feel this Nolan Smith thing may be?
Well, that's a great...
Because he does not look good.
It doesn't feel like he's making an impact even against the third and fourth stringers, does it? Now, did he put the governor on? Like, was he out there trying not to be injured? I don't know.
I hope not.
I can't
imagine. If they didn't want him injured, they wouldn't have him out there.
I can't imagine. it's not good. I don't know how he's looking out at practice on the regular, but I have never seen anything that speaks to me, that stands out, that says, wow, there's some real potential here, some upside that we can hold on to. It's concerning.
Yeah, it really is. All right, a couple things here. So I have in front of me, and by the way, you can join the conversation at 215-592-9494. After that last preseason game over the weekend, Eagles, by the way, with no more practices until the cuts. Past years, they've had practices after the final game, final call for the players to try to make their case, but that ship has sailed this year. So whatever is going to go down is going to go down based on the past performances. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the Eagles need to set their 53-man roster. Now,
Nolan Smith will make the team.
He'll make the team.
He's a first-round pick, but his performance has nothing to do with his being on the team.
That's right.
He was the first-round pick in 2023.
There was a player the Eagles cut, and I'm not saying it's at that point with Nolan Smith, but there was a player about 8 or 9 years ago they cut after 17 games. He was a second-round pick. Was it the safety? Was it the Temple safety, James?
Oh,
Jarrett?
Yeah. Jaquan Jarrett.
Jaquan Jarrett.
He actually had a decent career with the Jets.
He got 1 year and one game into year two.
Yep.
And he got cut as a second rounder, which is extremely fast.
Sure is.
All right, so
there had to be so much more going on behind the scenes. Like, his attitude must have been impossible for them to handle.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Total jerk, total, distraction.
I have in front of me Elliott's predictions for the roster and Jeff McClain's prediction. Now, let me just say this. They're very, very similar. Just to frame it for you, and obviously all these writers are putting out their predictions, but I just pulled these two. So just to give you an example, both of them have 51 of the same players on a 53-man roster. So the only differences are actually just Elliott's got two guys on and McClain's got two guys on that the other doesn't have. I mean, we're talking about Brett Toth.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Thomas Booker. We're talking about McCollum. Here's the most interesting one, Bradberry.
Mm-hmm.
So Elliott has Bradberry on the team. Jeff McClain has Bradberry off the team.
I think he's on the team. He'll be off the team next year. His contract is set up thusly.
The fact that they went this far with him tells me he will probably be on the team.
Yeah, like, what's the point at this point, right?
He will be on the team.
I mean, a final chance to trade him, James.
I guess that's it, but then he has to stay on the team for the final chance to trade him. Like, maybe they trade him before roster cut down, I guess.
I guess they can still trade him. I mean, like, after he's on the team this season.
So we'll say. So you got that reality. I mean, otherwise, but here's the other, I think, most interesting thing, because I don't want to read all these players' names. I mean, you guys, it's not hard to figure out, who they would have on their rosters, and I don't want to read 53 names. But here's probably the most interesting name, not John, on both of them. Okay, Elliott and McClain now say, and this is after Elliott last week on the show thought this guy would make the team. He has changed his mind, and that is Paris Campbell.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Who up until about a week ago, most people thought was the third receiver. And now both Elliott and McClain have the Eagles keeping six receivers.
And he's not,
And he's not one of them.
Wow.
Because what both of them have is the Eagles keeping, obviously, the main two, A.J. and Devontae.
And Dotson.
Dotson is the three. Now I'm going to put Covey next because I think he's a lock because of his returning capabilities.
And Johnny Wilson for both, I'm sure.
Johnny Wilson and then the Aeneas Smith
guy. They kept Aeneas Smith over Paris Campbell. Wow.
Both of them say Aeneas
Smith. Well, that could be the draft pick thing, even though he's a fifth-round pick. I mean, even then, it's rare a fifth-round pick gets cut before he,
And look, Paris Campbell didn't do anything. He didn't do anything the last couple weeks. Wow. Now, maybe they could pick him back up if they had to, but, you know, make
it. That's Terrence the thing, Campbell. Too, with the if they make it through the first round of waivers and then they can come back week two and their contract isn't guaranteed. There's a lot of gymnastics with that, too.
That's right.
Paris Campbell did not play well enough with the injury and everything else to differentiate himself from Aeneas Smith.
And
he's
Dotson
so much more expensive.
Was acquired.
Yes, of course. Jahan Dotson being here changes everything.
Yeah.
Campbell is, yeah, he's looking for a job.
Yeah, so look, I mean, if you want to react on what you saw this preseason, obviously 215-592-9494. We asked the question, is the defense good enough for the Eagles? Is it good enough? 215-592-9494. Coming up at 8:30, are you smarter than an 11th grader?
No, you are not. You are going down today. The camera.
So what kind of questions?
11th graders are smart.
So geography.
Like really smart.
Geography, science, math, English, history.
Okay. All right. I expected.
Math. We're going to be doing equations.
Got some math going. No, there won't be. I tried to avoid like live actual calculating. It's more just your
11th
terms
grade
and
math
your
is
knowledge.
No joke.
Yeah, a little trigonometry. Oh, yeah. Good
when you get to the calculator, it has 100 bucks on out.
Yeah, what do you?
No.
Yeah, couldn't do it.
I had a math tutor for a reason.
I couldn't do it. 215-592-9494. Plus, something Spike Eskin said on Friday I thought was real interesting.
There's another thing, too.
What?
She said she eats crackers on her peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, we're back to that? I know Joe
crackers?
Does too.
Why not?
Peanut butter. Not jelly, though.
Peanut butter and jelly. You do this too,
I
Ruben?
Have done it. Absolutely.
Yes, thank
I've
you.
Never
unequivocally.
Heard of this.
It's tremendous.
So
wait, this is a thing? Have you heard of this?
And you can do sandwich or open face.
Yeah.
What the? No.
Open face.
What are you talking about?
I'm more of a sandwich person. I like to do
open
like a little
face,
mini.
You can go open face PB&J with a cracker.
Oh, my God. 215-592-9494. Plus, something Spike said on Friday about Rob Thompson. I want to get to that as well. On 94WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. In partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, you know, they got a little something different for you right now. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Obviously, a very unique and very cool opportunity. You bet $5, you get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket, whether you are a past user of FanDuel Sportsbook or not. That's awesome. So lock it all in and get that. Also, of course, you can just bet all the games, including tonight's game of the local baseball squad getting back at it. Future bets as it relates to pro football. The regular season to start next week. Obviously, that opening game on Thursday. Then Philadelphia playing on Friday in Brazil. It's all there for you at FanDuel.com/hammer. To get in on any of this action, FanDuel.com/hammer.
Sponsored by the General Building Contractors Association. The Phillies got their third series win since the All-Star break, putting up 22 runs on the Kansas City Royals in back-to-back games over the weekend. Garrett Stubbs stepped in yesterday after JT Realmuto's career-high 7 RBI game Saturday. And he didn't miss a beat. The backup catcher had a career-high 4-hit game, was on base 5 times, and drove in a run.
Swung on line over the leap of DeJong. It's down the left field line. Into scores Marsh. Stubbs trying for 2. Rojas is in at 3rd. And Garrett Stubbs is a home run shy of the cycle today as he has expanded the Phillies' lead. It's now 4-2.
With that, the Phillies' lead in the NL East jumps back to 6 games. They host the Astros for a 3-game series starting tonight. Coming up next segment, is Joe smarter than an 11th grader? Find out at 8:30 this morning. GBCA and their all-star lineup of members are responsible for the continued development of Philadelphia. Just look at the skyline to see their work. Weather today, sunny with a high of 87. It's currently 70 degrees. To listen to 94WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94WIP.
Some Zeppelin action for a Monday morning. I like it. I also like when we do Are You Smarter Than, in this case, an 11th grader, because I'm undefeated, although that streak at some point will end. But our contestant, he'll be joining us in about 10 minutes. He hails from Brandywine High School. And, John, I got the details. With the GPA being weighted, with all those AP classes, a 4.2 GPA.
Wow. Oh, you're so nervous.
I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, that's what you should be.
So we got a smarty that's going to be with us, and we'll see if he can take down the hammer.
James picked well.
Apparently.
Yeah. Very smart. Take that, hammer.
Well-rounded young man. Talk to him a little bit.
Nice.
He's much bigger than Joe is.
He
also.
Is,
oh,
wow.
So
he
might be bigger than Joe and I combined.
Yeah. Gigantic. Yes.
All right, so we'll have some fun with that coming up in 10 minutes. By the way, speaking of high school, Turkey Bowl 6 is happening this year in November here on WIP when we announce a high school rivalry. Classic Thanksgiving Day football game, or in this case, perhaps Thanksgiving Eve this year. We noticed in recent years a number of games had moved off of the Thursday, Thanksgiving, to the Wednesday. So we're open to either a Wednesday or a Thursday game this year. Right now is the nomination period, and ultimately this really has to happen with the backing of the school, you know, from an athletic director standpoint or the principal standpoint, or obviously both. So ADs and principals, or if you know someone who's an AD or principal, get to them and get them to nominate their school, the rivalry game at 94WIP.com. That's the website, 94WIP.com. Coming up in October, we'll have the competition, so to speak, with voting for the games that are, you know, picked as the finalists. And that'll ultimately lead to a November broadcast in the Thanksgiving range. So we look forward to that. Again, 94WIP.com to nominate your game. 215-592-9494. Congrats, John, to LeSean McCoy over the weekend. Eagles, yes. Hall of Famer. It's a deserved honor, obviously. He's got the franchise record for rushing yards. I think he passed Van Buren, if I remember right. Obviously passed them all, passed Wilbert, passed Ricky, passed Keith Byers, passed Deuce Staley and Brian Westbrook. So deserved it. He was not my favorite Eagle, but, you know, he is a very deserving Eagles Hall of Famer.
Unbelievable production. And
he was great.
When I was a player here in Philadelphia, Shady, yep, was a junior. He just completed his junior year at Bishop McDevitt High School, and he was actually one of the kids who had come up to camp.
To practice.
And was watching at Eagles training camp. And, of course, you know, he's from Harrisburg, which is right next to Mechanicsburg. Yep. We played Bishop McDevitt High School. Ricky Waters went to Bishop McDevitt High School. My high school coach, Tim Rimpfel, coached at McDevitt before he came to Cumberland Valley. So there's a lot of crossover with that. He is an unbelievable talent in terms of, like, moving.
Oh, he was phenomenal.
The way that he could move laterally,
phenomenal.
The way that he could just sort of finesse his way and teleport his way through the line of scrimmage, it really was unique.
Very few players have, you know, the Barry Sanders-type moves. He wasn't all the way there, but he had a lot of that. You know, he had that. I mean, I'm going to give
make
you a really high-end. The Gale Sayers kind of like, how'd he do that? Now, he wasn't Gale Sayers, but he was really good. I mean, he was great. You know, there was 4 or 5 years when he was really great. So congrats to Shady McCoy with that honor. Eagles will obviously honor him this regular season. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. After the Phils take 2 of 3 from KC. Ruben, are they back? They win 2 of 3. So here's where I'm at. I can't say yes. They might be, but I can't say yes because it's too small a sample size and too much has gone too wrong for too long, namely 2.5 months. But would you declare them back?
I think they're back.
Why?
I do think they're back because as long as Ranger is healthy, I think they're back.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
man.
If Ranger's back and if he's healthy and throwing like the other day, I think that they're back.
Well, clearly, you know, this team, it's funny. It's like it almost reminds me of years, you know, you go back, Ruben, to your group. It started as a hitting group. And I'm talking when you were the GM, started as a hitting group and then ultimately evolved into a pitching team with the four aces. But even prior to that, I mean, in 2010 with Halliday and still at Hamels, and that year you had Oswald. I mean, this team, when they were really kicking butt in the first 2 months of the season, the primary reasons were Wheeler, Nola, Ranger, Sanchez.
The best.
I mean, it was literally
the best in the game.
And then, of course, John, that's also when they had the bullpen rocking also with the four dudes, you know, and
they're all sorts of records.
Yeah, and they've been kind of, you know, iffy to say the least lately. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494 on all these topics, including that ridiculous Eagles preseason game. John in Plymouth meeting. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
It's going great, John.
So I rushed home. I don't know why I rushed home from work on Saturday afternoon to catch the last quarter of that game. Yeah. But the funniest thing in the world, I belly laughed when Merle Reese said that last thing about the rebar pair. I was on the floor laughing. The Phillies, I was listening to Ruben saying, you know, I think they're back. But if I recall right, you know, they were 30 and like 34 like Friday from since they came back from England. So I don't know. I'm too like early to say that they're back yet because their record's not going right since they came back from England. But I do think they're going to make the playoffs. I do think they're going to win the division. But as far as, you know, going all the way, I'm still nervous just because of that record since they came back from England.
I think it's a great point, John. Great point. And I think our biggest worry is that the magic that we had was way too early. I think that's secretly that is our greatest concern, that we somehow lost that or something. And I don't know if we did.
John, go ahead, buddy. What are you going to say on the Eagles, John?
The Eagles, like I said, like it's too early to tell because I really haven't seen the product out there. Like, I don't know what to expect. I mean, I hear how practice is going. I hear what they're telling me, but I haven't seen anything from anybody. I know. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited with the moves they made. I really am. But, you know, going into game one, I don't know what the product's going to be like.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
Like a preseason.
Jalen threw one interception. You know, Jalen threw one interception, and it was in practice, and that is a major step in the right direction, especially with a new offense. But I haven't seen it myself. I expect that they're going to be handing the ball off a lot, that he's going to be under center. But again, I only saw that at practice, and I expect the run game will be the foundation. But again, I don't know.
I don't expect the run game to be I think I sure the foundation will be A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith.
Plus carries/receptions, however that combines for Saquon, that's where it starts.
It's not going to be 20, John. I'm telling you, it's not.
20 touches.
Not going to be.
That's 15 carries and 5 receptions.
Well, hold on. Let's do 20 times. You got to play 17 games plus, let's say, a minimum of 3 for the Super Bowl. That's 20 games. That's 400 touches. He's not going to touch the ball 400 times.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that.
Well, hopefully it can be close to that because that's how we will operate most efficiently.
All right, John, give me an answer here. What appeals to kids and adults?
So I've worked in kitchens my whole life. So summer doesn't appeal to everybody, but something that does appeal to everybody, and you can have it all year long, vacations.
Vacations is a good answer. Wow. Man.
I got my answer,
Joe. You don't have to pay for it, so it's even better.
Yeah, who doesn't love that, a vacation?
Solid. I got my answer.
What's your? Oh yeah, that took you an hour.
It took me an hour and a half to figure it out. I got cartoons.
Oh sure,
Saturday morning cartoon.
Come on,
how
many 55-year-olds are watching cartoons? Come on,
I don't watch them anymore.
Of course not.
A lot
of
people do. Your answer?
Yeah, that's a bad answer. You have the nostalgia of when you liked it. Not really. Let me put it this way,
Ruben. The cartoons we watch are like South Park or something. Older type adult things, but I do watch those shows.
There's some of that. There's some of that.
All right.
There's some of that. All right.
I have a bad answer? I'm allowed to have a bad answer.
It took you an hour.
All right. So Merrill Reese, you know, the last caller reference what Merrill said near the end of that Eagles broadcast the other day. It's worth a re-listen. Let's hear Merrill as he's getting near the sign-off with the disclaimer with some good commentary mixed in.
I have to read this. Please excuse me for reading this. Any rebroadcast of this game, this game is expressly prohibited with the advance written permission of the NFL, 94 WIP, and Odyssey. And if you want to rebroadcast it, please seek psychiatric help.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal job by Merrill. Love it. You know what's also a good job? John, you know what show might be coming back? That was a pretty big thing. Did you see this, Devin? Pretty big thing the last 5 years. Ted Lasso. Yeah. My People magazine subscription has told me that there are talks.
The internet also told us that.
Ted Lasso.
Yes, it did, James.
Really? Return. And you know what I wonder? Because they said one of the biggest things was Sudeikis, the star. He had to go, you know, overseas. That's where they primarily filmed it. Of course, it was European soccer, English soccer. I wonder, and they said that was a drag on him. The irony because he's got young kids living here in America, and that was the storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Reverse over there in the show, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if, because it, you know, at the end of season three, he comes back to America. I wonder if he would take over like an MLS team in America. And they just do it a different way. And they bring, because they do have the British crew ready to go, the main characters over there. But I wonder if now it would be American-based. I mean, first off, it's surprising to me that he really had to move to frickin' London to film this. I mean, isn't that what a green room is for? A green screen or whatever?
I don't know that you can pull that off.
I mean, it's a freaking soccer field. I mean, do
legit.
That anywhere.
Legit. They want
to
be
over
legit.
There to film
But also, the rest of the
scenes.
Crew and cast is British, so it's like just Sudeikis
who has an
issue.
Get their ass over here, man. Who won the Seltzer? Who won the Revolutionary War?
It's a great point, Joe. Yep.
That's all you need to know.
Yep, you're right.
All right, all right. I don't think that's going to be in Are You Smarter
Who
Than
Who Won
an
the Revolutionary
grader.
War is not one of the questions.
I think that might be a question for, like, Are You Smarter Than a Second Grader? Our contestant today for... By the way, James, do we have an open for this Are You Smarter Than?
We do.
Let's play a little game we call Are You Smarter Than an 11th Grader?
Are you smarter than
an 11th
grader?
All right, now...
Man... Great
high production. Yep, thank
all right,
you.
We have our first problem of the day. I notice here that the father and son are communicating, and I appreciate that they were keeping it down, trying to be polite and respectful there while we were still talking on the air. Our contestant's name is Will. And Will, I believe you can hear me. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, but you could not hear James Seltzer a moment ago?
Oh, that's not good. So you can't hear me right now?
He cannot hear you. All right. We will get Will and Ruben. Can you guys switch seats, please, just to get and switch maybe the headphones? Because we got to get Will in a spot where he can hear
Unless
James.
Can Chris hear me? Chris, can you hear me in yours? You could switch their headphones, too.
Yeah, but let's get Chris to be able to hear you as well. So let's get, in the meantime, while we get that switched, let's take a phone call, and then we're going to get to this contest here. John, we're already off the rails. Our contestant with a 4.2 GPA was set up bad by Seltzer. Seltzer gave him bad cans. All right, we'll get to that shortly. Let's go to Nick right now. Nick, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, crew.
What's up,
crew,
Nick?
Good morning. Just wanted to make a quick point back with Taiwan.
Yep.
My issue with him, obviously, he's struggling. We don't need to keep harping on that, but if the Bills string a few games together like they have over the last couple of games, they get some momentum going. I mean, as we're nearing the postseason and momentum becomes more and more important, if we got to keep throwing Taiwan out there, I mean, it could kill everything we get built up here going into the postseason.
Well, here's the thing, Nick. What it really could mostly affect is their standing for a Game 7 or a Game 1 at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, they are in a dogfight with the Dodgers, the Brewers, and believe it or not, even the Yankees and other teams in the AL for home field advantage in various rounds. And you don't want to see it all get screwed up because this guy gets 3, 4, 5 more starts. He should get 0 more starts. 0.
I completely agree. And like you said, throwing anybody out there, I mean, some of these pitchers that we have starting these games like the other day, I'm not even that familiar with them. And I have more confidence in them.
No question. Nick, right now I have 0 confidence in Taiwan Walker.
Completely agree.
Yeah. And really, I think it reminds me of yesteryear when the Phillies would trot guys out who clearly shouldn't be trotted out. And I appreciate, I think one of the reasons, Nick, the team made the playoffs the last 2 years, you know, they got rid of Didi. They got rid of that Familia last year. I mean,
Odubel.
What year was that?
Same year of Familia. They got rid of both of them at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, was Familia 2 years ago then?
Familia was 2022, correct.
Oh, I thought it was last year.
No, it was 2023.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was last year.
I don't think Odubel was on 2022, was he? Maybe he was. But
he was on 2022 and they got rid of him.
They got rid of him. The point is, Nick, they had a line in the sand. And I'm disappointed that the Phillies' line in the sand this year with Taiwan Walker has been so generous. Too generous. All right, give me a great answer, Nick. What appeals to both kids and adults, you know, kind of equally, if you will?
Video games.
Video games.
Man, huge.
I don't know about that.
Of course they're.
Yeah, oh, they're huge.
Joe,
adults,
what do you mean
massive.
You don't know about that?
Some adults, but it's not mainstream.
Oh, it is.
Guys, we got things like vacations. Less than 50% of adults play video games. No question.
I don't think so.
No question. Ruben Amar, do you play video games?
You're not going to hear
All right, his microphone's not on. All right, no,
I just
nothing's
turned it on. You can talk.
All right. So, but look, I think that's a bad answer, but we'll see. All right, let's meet our contestant.
Can you hear me? Well, let's start there.
Yes, all right. Can hear
Boom.
You. All right, our contestant's name is Willie Hells from Brandywine High School. Will, I'll ask you to talk into that microphone. Lean into that thing right there. Let's welcome from Brandywine High School. He's got the guts to stand up and try to beat.
Yeah!
And he walks in with a freaking 4.2 weighted GPA. His name is Will, and he is the hero of Philadelphia if he wins today. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Yes.
How are you,
Will.
Buddy?
More ready than ever.
Now,
yes.
Are you a big Philadelphia sports fan?
Yep.
You listen to the show, you listen to the station?
Yep.
Now, what gives you the audacity to think on Odyssey that you can beat the Hammer? Who is like, I mean, I'm the Hammer. How do you think you can beat me? What are you kidding me?
I'm just confident.
Didn't those teachers teach you anything?
I hope so.
Yeah, they teach don't go up against the Hammer in high school these days.
John,
did you know that?
John, what is the approach I have here as far as being the Hammer and, you know, talking some smack? But also, I mean, I want to be a nice guy.
You should keep your mouth shut.
I don't know how you toe this line, actually. It's a challenge. But I do believe in Will. I believe Will has a very reserved demeanor, and he's about to lay you low.
He looks smart. He looks smart. Let's
very
welcome
smart.
Will's father. His name is Chris. He goes by the name The Father here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone else.
So, Chris, you heard us talking a few weeks ago that we were going to do this. And you reached out to Seltzer and submitted your son. You must be very proud of him. 4.2 GAs. He seems like a fine, fine young man. So congratulations on raising a great kid.
Thank you. He's got a quiet confidence reserve. But trust me, if he wins, he will probably take it to the next level.
Is he a winner?
Absolutely.
We're about to find out.
Do you think Joe the Camera is a winner?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hammer!
I have a
no. By the way,
Joe has only won in this game, and that's why he's so pompous in his demeanor right now. Really believes he'll win.
Let me say, Chris, to you and Will, to you, before we begin this, I apologize for anything I may or may not say in the next couple minutes. It's all men and good fun.
Don't take him too seriously.
I think the audience knows I'm just playing around. All right, James, for those just tuning in, give them a sense of how this contest works. I know you talked to Will and me before the show or before the segment about the rules, but just for those tuning in, how does this thing
work? Yes, so it is going to be 10 questions. I said before it's a mix of science and math and history and English and geography, and it'll be 10 questions. Whoever thinks they know the answer, you yell it out. Whoever says the answer first gets it. If they are wrong when they yell it out, the other contestant will get 5 seconds to try and answer the question, and we go, and if we're tied at the end, we'll keep going until someone wins.
If we're tied at 10, then we have overtime rules.
It's
and we'll
sudden
get to that.
Death okay. Question. Get it right. Get it wrong. Keep going.
Yep. Will, do you understand the rules?
I understand.
I know, Will, I am nervous because I always get nervous before a competition. Are you a little bit nervous?
Not at all.
Good for you,
amazing.
Man.
I love this.
That's really good. Which category do you think you will be particularly good at? Sports? Not sports. History? You know, geography, what would be your main area of specialty?
Good job with the categories, Camera.
I know. I'd say probably history and science.
Okay. Well, science will be my worst. All right, Seltzer, make sure you got Justin answering the phones in there if possible.
Yep, Justin, get on that.
All right.
You can go right over there and hear him making noise.
So remember, you got to yell it out. The first person to yell it out gets credit with the answer.
All right, if you get it right. All right, let's rock and roll.
But if it's wrong, the other person gets 5 seconds.
That's right.
To answer the question.
That's right. All
nailed
right.
It.
Seltzer, you got the floor.
All right, here we go. Are you smarter than an 11th grader?
This is
here
so
we go.
Embarrassing because I know it's going to be a disaster.
All right,
for me.
Question number one. Yell the answer out if you know it. Question number one. 60% of the Amazon rainforest is located in which South American country?
Brazil.
Wow, Hammer, quick on that one. 1-0 Hammer. Quick start. Question number two.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's the biggest country down there.
Look at you.
Yeah, thank
you. Deductive reasoning there.
Thank you.
Question number two. What is the largest organ in the human body?
The heart.
Incorrect. Will, you have 5 seconds.
Is it the large intestine?
It is not. It is the skin is the largest organ.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three.
Okay.
What is the sum of the interior angles of a triangle?
180 degrees.
Bang! 1-1.
1-1 after 3 questions.
Well done.
Nice job.
All over that. Question number four. What treaty signified the end of World War I?
Treaty of Versailles.
That is correct. 2-1, Hammer. All right. For question number 5, about to be halfway through. What is the literary term for the principal or lead character of a literary work?
Protagonist.
3-1, Hammer. Jumping on it there. All right, Will. Let's go. We got to turn this around here. We are halfway through. Question number 6. What is the capital of Nebraska?
Omaha.
Incorrect. Hammer, you have 5 seconds.
Lincoln.
That's correct.
Yeah! Uh-oh. Hammer on a roll!
4-1, we have 4
Almost
questions left.
Almost mathematically impossible
Will,
for me to lose.
You got this, buddy. You
Not
got
yet,
this.
But it's 4-1.
Question number 7. Which two countries fought in the Hundred Years' War?
I'll go with Prussia and Russia.
Incorrect. Will, you have 5 seconds.
I have no idea.
Take a guess.
Not sure.
France and England fought in the Hundred Years' War. All right, question number 8. In an element, the number of protons is equal to the number of what?
Electrons.
Correct. All right, 4-2.
Two questions
left.
More. Okay.
Here we go. This is big. Question number 9. What is the name of the longest side of a right-angled triangle?
Hypotenuse.
Bang! 4-3. Uh-oh.
Would have been nice if that question was read a little bit more coherently.
You got it. Okay. We're not going
to
get
4-3. 1 to go.
Here we
All
go.
Right, Will, good luck to you, buddy. This is a big moment right now.
Here we go. This is what happened the first year. You came back. All right, here we go. Question number 10. The world's longest above-water mountain range is located in South America. Name that
Andes.
Mountain range. Oh, the hammer!
Oh, that's the hammer being, you know.
The hammer!
Thank you very much. So, Will, you did very well, my man. You did very well. Let's hear it, John. Let's hear it for Will. He was a great competitor.
He did great. Better than other years.
Oh, better than Ruben Amaro would have done when he was in 11th grade. Certainly better than Caney would have done.
Okay. All right. I at least knew a little skin. Come on. Why
All right, Will, you did a nice job, buddy.
Thank you.
So how do you feel, Will?
I feel defeated.
Yeah.
You did good, man. That was solid.
You feel defeated because you were defeated.
Oh, brother.
Yep.
Is that too much, Dad? Is it?
No, I told him if he lost, he's losing to the future president of the United States. So it's all good.
Odyssey Sportsman, sponsored by Fisher Investments.
James, what are you doing?
I'm not.
Like
not
this,
it's
Florida
not.
State,
well, turn something
2024
just off.
Was supposed to be a revenge tour.
Just pull
the
something
left
down.
Them out of the playoff last year. Instead, they no show.
All right. Well, someone hit something somewhere
that's
in the back
weird.
Room.
It was from the microphone. Oh, it's from the mic over there.
All right, John.
I have no idea how that happened.
John, your
still.
Thoughts on what just transpired?
It's just such a shame. I know that Will is. Kicking himself. I know that Will...
He did really good, man.
Yes, you did a great job.
I thought we both did really good.
Well, I don't know. Let's not go too far. Joe, you were surprisingly smart in a couple of those. I don't know where that came from. It almost feels like Joe studied or something.
There was no studying.
There's
so which one? The Andes?
Wrong here. You were a lot more dialed in than I ever could have expected, and I think than you've ever been.
6-0. I think that was my best yet. 6-0. Yeah.
And I can't believe you dominated that.
I wouldn't say dominated. I'd say I did. Listen, Will, you did great also. I mean,
Will, you did. You did. But something has to change.
Joe was on fire today.
All right, so Will, you go back to Brandywine High School. When do you start the school year?
Tomorrow.
Good for you, man. Well, go in there with your head held high. Seltzer, as the moderator and the grand poobah of this whole thing, what parting gifts do you have for our contestant?
We'll figure something out. That's not normally my
look at that.
We'll get you something. I promise.
We'll figure something out.
I promise. I will talk to Ava Graham and she'll make it happen because she makes everything happen.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, let's hear it for Will. Will, nice
Just
job, buddy.
Back. Thank you.
I thought you did a really good job. Chris, you should be very proud.
Thank you.
Seriously, man, you got a great son here. Will, can we get a Go Birds from you on the way out the door?
Go Birds.
How many wins again? How many wins this year?
17.
Okay. Ooh. Is that 14 in the regular season and 3 in the playoffs, and that's how they win the Super Bowl?
Yep.
That'll work.
My man.
That works
great for me.
I like it. Hey, Will, thanks, buddy. Stay well. All right, there he is. Will
great
and the
job,
dad, Chris.
Will.
Nice job, guys. Let's reopen the phone lines for you, 215-592-9494. Everything we're discussing today. I also want to play some audio of Spike Eskin talking about Rob Thompson on Friday. And, of course, if you want to react to what happened in Are You Smarter Than an 11th Grader, you can do that. I want to play some audio of Spike on Friday. Because, John, he had a pretty good defense of Rob Thompson. who's been kind of like a human punching bag lately with the way people have been talking about him. And I've been frustrated with Rob Thompson as well. But Spike's thing is, this is misdirected, how many people are going after Rob Thompson as much as they are. Listen to Spike. Now, again, this goes back to them winning 2-3 in KC. So remember how it felt on Friday. And it's not like the feeling has completely changed yet, even though they won 2 of the last 3. Here's Spike on Friday, his initial salvo sticking up for Rob Thompson.
There are too many people talking about Rob Thompson and this collapse we have seen so far, collapse-ish, from the Phillies. It's Rob Thompson, Rob Thompson, Rob Thompson. Why doesn't he have the players hitting better? Why is he putting this pitcher in? Why is he pinch hitting for that one? And I just think it's all misdirected. We could nitpick on game decisions for Rob Thompson, but this is not about Rob Thompson. This is about one of two things. This is about Dave Dombrowski, or it's about the players.
All right, so that's Spike's initial thing where he's clearly saying, hey, don't be blaming Topper as much as you are. And then he really lays into his why.
See, I don't know what Rob Thompson's supposed to do when this team, when you look at it in totality, is exactly what they were last year. They are streaky. They have long times where they don't hit. They have long times where they do hit. The pitchers are pitching exactly as we would expect to pitch. Most of them probably better than we would expect. You look up and down the lineup, and aside from Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh, everybody's having a normal year. The team will end up around 90 wins, which is what happened last year, with the exact same team. So you're either mad that Dave Dombrowski did not put together a good enough team to be what you expect, or you're mad at the players for not performing. But this is not on Rob Thompson.
All right, it's an interesting position, and I had not heard many people, if anyone, say that in recent weeks. John, is Spike right?
This is not on Rob Thompson. So we're talking about the fact that Taiwan Walker pitched on Friday? Yeah, on Rob Thompson.
Well, Dave Dombrowski signed him.
Yeah, that one's, of all things, probably not on Rob.
And Dave Dombrowski's probably telling Rob Thompson, thou shalt pitch that guy.
Okay. Then, so that does not matter. So the front office tells him Taiwan's pitching. I shouldn't blame him for Taiwan. What do I get to blame him?
Well, you get to blame him for some of the non at bats from star players in ninth innings recently. You get
the,
to blame
like,
him for
lack
that.
Of,
can't blame him on that.
Well, you can blame him for the lack of feel like in the moment, like I have to win these games as you go. Like there's been a lackadaisical approach to certain games. The not pinch hitting certain guys, just give him a day off.
The team has been sloppy.
Yeah, you can blame him for that.
Maybe he should have taken him into the woodshed earlier. Maybe he should have benched a guy. Maybe he should have pulled a guy out in the fifth inning just to, make a statement. Maybe he should have sat the same guy for 3 games in a row to make a statement. I mean, there are things he could do and control. Look, I think Spike's point is pretty good, Frank.
I think it's more on the players and Dombrowski than on Thompson, for sure, personally.
We are looking out for reasons.
Robin? No, it's the players. The players have to play. And, yes, you have a leader, and it's his job to lead this ball club, but I love Rob Thompson, and I understand a lot of the things and why he's doing some of the things that he's doing. There are reasons why he makes decisions. He's very thoughtful, super thoughtful, almost to the point of ad nauseum. It's amazing how what he does affects the psyche and just the overall feel of the clubhouse.
Is it possible that you can overthink some of that stuff? Like
sometimes you could. But I think he's so thoughtful about it that I think ultimately it's the best way to manage a ball club, especially this one.
I thought it was a really interesting point by Spike. I'm curious if it resonates with you. 215-592-9494. That in addition to everything with the Eagles going on. Let's talk to Dan in Philadelphia. Of course, if you want to comment on are you smarter than an 11th grader and give me my praise, I'll take the praise. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
Hi, Dan.
See that grenade I just threw your way?
Good job, Dan.
I didn't even listen to you, China.
Good job.
Full praise out of people. Hey, listen, so the Phillies, they've scored 26 runs over the past 3 games.
Yep.
I would hope that would indicate that the bats are back alive.
Lively. Sure.
It does. Like Ruben said earlier, if Ranger's back, and hopefully he is, he had that lull for a while where he was pitching, but he wasn't pitching great, and then he went on the IR, and, hopefully all that health is back, so that stabilizes the rotation. As for Rob Thompson, I kind of agree with Taiwan. Like, I know maybe Dabrowski told him to play him, but at some point Rob Thompson does have to say, I mean, Ruben, you could speak to this more than anybody else. Can't Rob Thompson say, I'm not putting him out there. It's a loss. I'm not going to do it.
Well, that's a tough thing for him to say. I mean, listen, Dave Dombrowski's his boss. that's the bottom line.
Yeah, I understand that, but like, it's pretty obvious. Like, you're not getting anything out of Taiwan Walker. Like, nothing. Like, how does that negotiation start if you're a manager with the GM?
Well, I mean, they're in constant contact. I mean, they talk all the time. It's something that I know that they've kicked around. I know that they're shuffling around this. They haven't made any announcements as to who's, you know, starting over the next several days. So I know they're kicking a lot of things around.
So do you feel like that stuff would have been announced at this point if it were more certain, and that's likely a change is about to happen here?
It is very possible. I think that they're trying to figure out when they're going to start Ranger next. There's a whole lot of factors, whether or not, you know, they have Taiwan Walker take his turn in the rotation. These things are being discussed. I can tell you that.
Good.
Yeah. I just don't think he's an option at all.
I agree with you.
It's
time to end it.
Well, you got to
go down there and pitch.
You got to assume they're going to come to that, you know, decision. Like, they're watching the same stuff.
But I just don't want. Like, I thought they should have come to that decision 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, guys, $38 million is a big decision.
But I'll deal with that. But Ruben,
million.
Are we
but
to
Ruben,
the point
that's
where
the
off season?
Do you
that's
want
the,
to pay somebody $38 million? Should
he
sit?
I don't know. It's a tough decision because I do believe that he's probably going to get another start. It's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Wow. And they have to find out whether he can come back and whether, you know, do they give him another shot at it? I believe that they will, but I'm not positive about that.
So, Ruben, here's why I'm in a particularly bad mood about this topic. It's similar to James Bradberry from last year all over again. Now, listen, maybe James Bradberry can actually change his whole thing as a safety this year and hang in there. And if so, good for him. God bless him. It's an impressive way to end a career if he can change positions. But Sirianni and Desai or frickin' Patricia, whoever last year, someone should have recognized by mid-December, it ain't working right now. Enough. Bench the guy. Play a young corner. I mean, for him to get that start in that Tampa Bay game was a disgrace. Now, everyone knows Taiwan's not going to start in a playoff game, but these games right now matter.
Yeah,
they are jockeying with like four or five other teams for playoff positioning, and I'm not in the mood to just throw them away. And to your $38 million point, I agree with you, Ruben, $38 million. I'll deal with that in November. When the season is over, thinking caps on, boys and girls, Dave Dombrowski, John Middleton, Rob Thompson, the pitching coach. Like, to me, that is November, but can't be anymore right now. Can't do it.
So here's the question. If he pitches one more time, does that end the season?
Does it end the season or his season?
It doesn't have as big an effect on the season that you think. If he fails again, then there's a real issue. But if he fails and loses a game, does that end the season?
No, it doesn't end the season.
But it could mean you don't get the one seed or the two seed or something.
I mean, it could be.
Ruben, they might have to play in the first round instead of the second round. Like,
they got tough decisions to make, man. It's not easy.
All right, Dan, give me a great answer. What appeals to kids and adults?
Did anybody say parents?
Parents.
Yeah.
Convoluted.
Yeah.
I mean, most of us love our parents, even when you get older. Not everybody does, but most people do. Okay.
I like that it's outside the box.
Yeah, it's a different answer. Hey, speaking of answers, you can answer today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Thinking about making the switch to an electric vehicle? Well, think Armin Chevrolet. Armin has incredible leases on the Blazer EV and Equinox EV. Together, let's drive. Today's poll question, should the NFL even continue to play preseason games? Yes or no? Actually, we got three choices for yes. Yes, play three of them. Choice B, yes, play two of them. Choice C, yes, play one, and D, no. Enough of the preseason. You can weigh in at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Seltzer, I need a quick ruling. What bothers you more this weekend, Taiwan Walker or the Eagles preseason game?
Taiwan, it mattered more.
That's a tough one, man, because that Eagles thing was a disgrace. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, phone calls. You can join us 215-592-9494. And if you love the band The Killers, we're looking for the biggest and best answer to what appeals to both kids and adults. Whoever provides the best answer is going to win the tickets to see The Killers in concert. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.